Please turn with me tonight to the first letter of John, chapter 5. 1 John, chapter 5, and verse 12. 1 John, chapter 5, and verse 12. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. No ambiguity in the verse. It is very clear. And my title tonight is Life in the Son of God. Life in the Son of God. And the first thing, I'm sure you have seen it, is the contrast. There is a contrast. There is a contrast between eternal life and perpetual death, which means no life. So the writer, it is about beating, it is about without beating about the bush. You have the Lord Jesus Christ, you have life. You do not have the Lord Jesus Christ, you do not have life. Why is that? Because Christ is the proprietor. Christ is the dispenser. Christ is the giver. Christ is the preserver. Christ is the providence. And he himself is life. You do not have Christ, you don't have the source of life. You don't have the one from whom life comes, but you don't have also the only one who could give you spiritual life. I'm sure you have spotted that. We are speaking about spiritual life. Why we need that spiritual life? My dear friends, we come into this world, all of us, without exception. We come with a fatal, mortal, and deadly handicap. We are deadly handicapped for one reason, among many certainly. And the reason is very simple. We are spiritually dead. Yes, we move, we work, we eat, we travel, we have joy, certain joy, a measure of happiness. But deep down in our hearts and in our souls, there is a vacuum, there is emptiness. And that emptiness can only be fulfilled and filled by the Lord Jesus Christ. And the problem with us, we will remain handicapped spiritually, tainted with sin, sinful by nature, sinful by choice, sinful by principle, sinful by action, sinful by in our thoughts, in our deeds, in our words, in our whatever we function, in all our faculties and in all our functions, we will remain spiritually dead until there is conversion. And conversion means that we have repented. Oh, before I was the king of my life, the whole world centered around myself. That's for some of us. For others, we are just a nobodies. Nobodies. Why? Because we are far from God. We do not have fellowship with God. Our prayers, forgive me for putting it this way, our prayers do not go beyond our nose. Why? Because God is far. He doesn't hear us, not because he is deaf, not because he has any impediment, but our sins have cast us away, reject us from the living God. God is holy, thrice holy, 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 he is. But we are sinners, doomed and condemned, and we cannot approach the living God. So the purpose of my preaching tonight to you, there is life in the Son. I can have free of charge. I can know if I'm saved or not while I'm still alive. You know why you can be sure that you are going to heaven or not? Because salvation is free. If it was not free, then I will say, go back home in doubts. But because it is free, you can know about it. You can have absolute certainty in whom you have believed on. So Christ is not just giving us life. He is life. God doesn't just give us life from His Son. He gives us life in His Son. So as we come to 1 John here, please allow me just to show you the beauty of this letter. This is a precious letter. Just 5 chapters. I'm sure in less than 10 minutes you can read the 5 chapters. It is written by the apostle of love, John. As you know, sometimes we say Paul is the apostle of faith, Peter is the apostle of hope, and John is the apostle of love. But this is an elderly man, an inspired man. He is a senior. And soon his life will come to an end. This is happening more than 2,000 years ago. And he is inspired by God to write this letter to us with a big heart. With a big heart. What do I mean? With great love. With a great purpose. But also with a great concern for souls. Please allow me, there are at least 4 or 5 purposes for which he has written this letter to us, but allow me just to point to you one among the 5. Just one to show you that this letter has written for a specific purpose, a great concern for your soul and my soul, that I can leave this place of prayer tonight knowing that God has forgiven me. God has accepted me. I'm not His enemy anymore. I'm not at war with Him. There is reconciliation. There is peace. There is union with my Creator. And the only example I could give you, as I said among the many, is in 1 John chapter 2, verse 13. The purpose why He is writing this letter to you and me. And He says there, I write unto you, 1 John chapter 2, verse 12, I write unto you, little children, this is a senior man writing to us with great love, with great compassion, and he's writing because your sins, it is a fact, it is not just informative, it has happened. If you have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven you for His name's sake, for His name's sake. You remember why the Lord Jesus Christ was called Jesus? Matthew 1 verse 21. You shall give Him the name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins. I don't want to keep you for too long. But please, my dear friends, a Jesus that is not a savior, allow me to say, has never existed. It is a myth. But the only Jesus we know about, the Lord Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, God with us, has come to save sinners. And this is one of the purposes John is writing. So, who is the Savior? Can we know Him? He's given us the evidence. He's given us the proof. But the letter of John has been called many, many times the letter of life. Please, can I add something to it? Just to help you to grasp again the beauty. This is really a letter of confidence, of assurance. The 3 L's. Chapter 1 and 2, this is the chapter of light. God is light. There is no darkness in Him. Chapter 3 and 4, God is love. God is love. And this is really packed, the letter is packed with the reality of God being love. Love is not God. That's what the world is saying nowadays. But God is love. And then when you come to chapter 5, God is life. So God is light, God is love, but God is also life. He gives life. And this is the purpose for which John is writing to us, that we can have life. So the question, where do you stand spiritually? Do you have life? Do you have spiritual life, meaning fellowship with God, forgiveness of sins? But he's writing also for two kinds of people who may be among us. He's writing for believers, that's the third category. That's obvious, he's writing to believers. But he's writing also to two kinds of other people. The first one, we may call them the Gnostics. There are people who say you need a fantastic, phenomenal, supernatural knowledge, mystical knowledge, in order to know God. No, we can know God. But second, he is also writing to some people who may be among us. We may call them the agnostics. Not just the Gnostics. These ones are saying you need superior knowledge in order to know God. But you have the agnostics. You see, the A is privative there. It means it is impossible to know. It is impossible. You ask them, there is God, he is a savior, you can have fellowship with him, your sins can be forgiven, and he created us. And they will say, nobody knows. Nobody knows. We cannot know. So John is writing to say, we can know for sure. And 40 times, maybe more than 40 times, I'm telling you, this is just 5 chapters, but more than 40 times, you can count them for yourself later, he's saying, we know, we know. So he's harping on about that expression all the time. We know, we know. Can I give you one or two examples in 1 John chapter 2, the same chapter, verse 3? That's the first, if you are counting them later, this is where you should start. Can we know? Yes, we can know. Can we know God? Yes, we can know. Can we know that we are forgiven of all our sins? Yes, we can know. And here in 1 John chapter 2, verse 3, he says, and hereby we do know. We do know that we know him. This is not the normal way of speaking, but here it is just to ponder and to strike us. And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. Then verse 4, he that saith, I know him, it's there again, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. You can trace that all over, we know, we know. So, that's why he's writing this letter. Children can know, adults can know, men and women can know. So it is an approachable letter to help us to find salvation in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now I come back to chapter 5 because really I want to draw your attention mainly on that verse, verse 12. But there is a small background. Very quickly I could mention what is happening in the previous verses. So from verse 6 to 10, you have the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. You have the witness of the Father. You have the witness also of the Holy Spirit. The three persons of the Godhead, they are all present, verse 6, verse 7, verse 8, verse 9, verse 10. They are mentioned there. All the unimpeachable persons and evidences are given to us. All the credibility you need, all the proof you need. You know, God loves us so much, and he didn't want us to be in any doubt about salvation, that he wrote down the Bible in black and white so that we may have it. 66 books, more than 40 writers, covering a period of 1,600 years, based on 3 continents, written in, let me say, 3 languages. Why? Just to show that the salvation we are speaking about is available universally. Universally. You take every other religion, it is based on a nation or a continent. But the Bible covers all continents, it covers all people. Nobody is excluded unless you exclude yourself. So, this is a powerful book. Colossians chapter 2, verse 3 says that in Christ there are all the treasures of wisdom. You want to acquire wisdom? Come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe on him. So, all the credibility is here in this book. The weight of the record here is really heavy. Every day, my dear friends, I'm really amazed. Every day we accept the witness of mere men, historians, geographists, biologists, architects, scientists. They tell us things happening in another continent. We hear about them. Have you seen them? But because they are on the news, you read them on the media, oh, we trust that, we trust that. But you see, this is the God who made us. This is the God who knows everything. But when it's about God, I'm not sure. I have to think twice about it. But you believe in simple men who are fickle and who are volatile and flippant and who do not have the full knowledge and the perfect knowledge. So please, don't make God a liar. Bible says God cannot lie. He gave us the salvation. It is available. But look at in verse 11. Verse 11, and this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. You don't have to go across the world to find life. You know, why they are going on this planet, on that planet, sending this supersonic device on Mars and other places? What are they looking for? For life. Where did life begin? But the Bible says life begins in the Lord Jesus Christ. You won't buy it in a shop. You won't get it by fast delivery tomorrow. It is in the Lord Jesus Christ. He has given us life. That's what the record is here. Do you see the record? In verse 11. And actually in the Greek text, after the record, it's the word eternal life. Eternal life. That is available for sinners. You can be reconciled with God. You can have it free of charge because God has made a way. Life has been located. It is in a person, not in something. Christ came from heaven to earth and gave us life in abundance. He has you, you have him, and you have him, you have eternal life. That's why Christ suffered on the cross of Calvary for the sins of every person. If you are here, you repent tonight. You say, Lord, I'm a wretched sinner. I fooled myself. I was so full of myself, but now, Lord, I could see, I need thee. I need thee, save me, Lord. Lord, I do not want to carry on in this petty life, but I want real life, life in abundance. Life is found only in him and in no one else. Do you really want to be saved? Bible says, come to Christ, come to the waters. Oh, if you cannot come to him by faith, please come to him to faith. To ask him to give you faith. Actually, it is a gift. You cannot turn around that. He must give you faith. So that's why I come to him and ask him to bless you and to help you to find him. Please, in verse 12, I have five small points. Five ones. Just five. To help us to understand what's going on in the verse. And the first thing I would like to mention is the recipients in verse 12. The second thing is the condition. The third thing in verse 12 is the subject. Who gives us eternal life? And the fourth thing I would like to mention in the verse there is the gain. What do we gain? And the fifth thing is the loss. If you do not gain, then you are a loser. You will lose everything. So let's start with the first one. And the verse says, he that hath the Son hath life. So my first point is he, that pronoun there, personal pronoun. Actually, in the Greek text, it says, the having, using that participle, the having, the one, the person. The person, whosoever, in other texts in the Bible, whosoever believeth on him, shall be saved. So the heather is for you, it is for me. It is for young, it is for old, it is for men, for women. There is no discrimination. Whoever you are, anyone can come. That's the invite God is giving to us. Oh, please, can I compare you, Bible with Bible? I know we are always running against this clock, but it's beautiful when you compare Bible with Bible. You will see, this is exactly the man who wrote the Gospel of John. But I take you just to one or two verses in the Gospel of John, and you will see he told us these things from the beginning. And John chapter 3, this is a classic verse, John chapter 3 and verse 36, and you will see something happening in that verse. I should have flagged it, but it's easy to find. John chapter 3 and the last verse of that chapter, John chapter 3, verse 36. In verse 18, you find the same. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And in verse 36, you find the same. He, the having, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. So come back to chapter 5, 1 John chapter 5, verse 12, because this is really our concern. So the first thing is the recipient, the person, the possessor, anyone, whosoever, everyone, you and me are called. The ruin is universal. It's not just a part of the world, but everyone in this world has been declared to be a sinner. And if we die in our sins, Bible says we are already condemned. So when the judgment comes, it's just the verdict that is going to be pronounced. But we can have life if we come to the Lord Jesus Christ. We all need salvation because we are all concerned. The second is the condition. Verse 12 again. He that hath, the having, to have. Please, you can replace the word to have there by the word believe. To trust, to yield your life unto him. He that believeth, he that trusted on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's really the meaning. To have Christ means I have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. I have repented from my evil ways. I have trusted in him. And I have abdicated my life to him. I have submitted my life to him. I have said, Lord, forgive me. I'm a wretched sinner. Purchase me. Wash me clean. Purify me. Oh, Lord, if you do not save me, I'm doomed and condemned. These are really words of a repenting person. So to have Christ means to believe, to put your faith on the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't put your faith in any guru of religion. Don't put your faith in any priest, but only on the Lord Jesus Christ. To have him is to believe in him. To have him is to love him and not to love yourself. And you do not have to wait. It is in the present tense. I'm sure you can see that. Today, right now, immediately, I can receive the forgiveness of sin. But the third thing, so we saw the recipient. He, anyone, whosoever, everyone. Then the second, the condition, I must believe. But look at the subject of eternal life. Who is it in verse 12? He that hath the Son. The Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, the second person of the Godhead, the one who is God, but he became and lived on this world, in this world, in a human body. The perfect one, the blameless one, the sinless one, the God-man, God of the very God. And he humbled himself to die on the cross of Calvary. He is the one we should believe in. And in nothing else. He is the incarnate Jesus. He is the incarnate God. The Savior. and the Son of God is really central. Please, can I just quickly, it's really beneficial, I believe, just to show you how this chapter 5 is packed with the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Quickly mentioning the verses. Look at from chapter 5, verse 1. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ, you see, he is mentioned there. Then in verse 5, who is that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? Verse 6, this is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ. You see, he pangs and carries on and strikes all the time. It is the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is Jesus Christ. Even look till verse 20. More, there are at least 10 times in just chapter 5 here. In verse 20 he says, and we know that the Son of God is come. Jesus Christ, he is mentioned there. So, the subject of eternal life is not something material in this world. It is God himself. Christ is the Savior. Christ is the person of our salvation. But the fourth one, in verse 12 again, this is the gain. Look at the gain. He that hath the Son has life. Life. And actually, in the Greek text again, believe me, not to impress you with anything, but it is so beautiful. The syntax, the word in there, the order of words, it is poetic but at the same time dramatic. He that has the Son has the life. There is the article there in the Greek, the definite article. He has what? A life? Just life? No, he has the life. The only life that is really important, the only life that is paramount, the only life that should matter to you and me. If you believe on the Son of God, you have life. I'm reading your mind. What is this life? It is eternal life. But please, eternal life again is a person. It is a person. Look at verse 20. I could have taken you to John chapter 17, verse 3. We are given a definition of eternal life there, but don't go there. Just here. What is eternal life? Eternal life is a person. It is a person. In verse 20, and we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding that we may know him that is true, and we are in him. That is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. Jehovah's Witnesses have raised this verse, this part in their Bibles. But you see the last part? This is the true God and eternal life. So what is eternal life? The life of God himself. The life of the eternal. Not the life of this world. So this is a life which combinates, couples, quality of life, quantity of life, the temporal part, now, we have it now, but it combines also eternity. You get it now, but it carries on in eternity. That's the beauty of eternal life. And it is given to us by the Lord Jesus Christ. So whosoever believeth in him, Christ secured that eternal life for us. Our hearts are so hard and proud that we do not want the simplicity of the gospel. But Christ died and he was risen from the dead. He was hanged on a cross. His blood was shed on that cross for every person who will believe on him. Please, to believe is easy. If you come to him trembling with fear and trembling, to believe is, you don't have to manufacture it. You do not have to fabricate anything. I come as a child, as a wretched sinner, and I ask, Lord, save me. I believe on you. I believe on the blood of Christ on the cross. Calvary means everything to me now. And I trust in thee, Lord. That's how we receive eternal life, everlasting life. The greatest evidence of Christ's love for us is that he died on the cross of Calvary. We do not deserve it, but we must desire it. Even if I'm given all the gold and the rubies of the world, I cannot pay for it. It is free. I only come. But I close with this. What is the loss? What a great loss. How shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? Look at verse 12 again. The contrast. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. No middle ground, no alternative, no option. You do not have Christ, you do not have life. But please, before as I close, what do I gain if tonight I mentioned already eternal life? But this chapter is also packed. I'm speaking to everyone. Please give me just 1 or 2 minutes and I'm done. This chapter is packed with many, many blessings and benefits we get given to us free of charge by the Lord Jesus Christ if we come to him in faith. Even a child can receive these things. And most certainly adults can receive these things. But here is a list of them. And there I will mention you quickly the verses. You can read them for yourself later. The first one is given to us in verse 1. You will be born of God. Born again in verse 1. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. That's the first benefit you get. You will be born again. You will be born from above. What is born of the earth is earthly. What is born of heaven is heavenly. So God will make of you his child. He will change you. He will transform you. Then in verse 2, it says there, you will know. You will know it. Verse 2, by this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. Then in verse 4 and 5, you will overcome sin and you will overcome the world. Remember, this is just in passing by, you have 3 enemies, the world, the devil, and the flesh. And if you come to the Lord Jesus Christ tonight, you will have power over sin. You will have power over the world. You will have power over your flesh. You will have power against your enemies. That's the meaning. And then I move to verse 13. Verse 13. And there you will receive assurance. This is, most preachers will tell you, this is the assurance verse. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. Then verse 14 and 15, you will have answer to your prayers. It is there. God will hear your prayers. Before, he won't hear your prayers. But you yield your life unto him, he will hear your prayers. And look at verse 18. Verse 18. You will be protected from the wicked one. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. So you are protected from sin. Sin will not have dominion over you. But he that is begotten of God keepeth him. God will keep you. And that wicked one toucheth him not. So the devil will not touch you, will not touch your soul, which means you will enter into heaven. Heaven is guaranteed. You are moving from darkness to light. You are moving from slavery to liberty. My dear friend, we can say so much. But remember, whosoever, that's the person, the recipient. The condition is to have the Lord Jesus Christ. To have him means to believe in him. The subject, the person of salvation is Christ the Lord. What are the gains? I gain eternal life. That's the fourth one. And fifthly, my loss will be great if I do not come to the Lord Jesus Christ. So please come to him. Cry to him. Ask him to forgive you ask Him to give you grace, mercy, and peace. Please don't go out of this building without life, without real life. Otherwise, you will call God a liar. And there is no bigger insult, there is no bigger offense than to call God a liar. Because He has given the evidence that if you come to Him, if you trust on His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, you have eternal life, absolute certainty. So come to Him, you have Him, you have life. Let's pray together. Our gracious Lord and Heavenly Father, O Lord, be merciful unto us again. We pray that Thou will visit us. As we said, our hearts are so hard, they are so callous, they are so stubborn. They are like a rock. They need the hammer of Thy word to hammer them and break the rock and make it to be a flesh, to be soft by the power of the Holy Spirit. O Lord, answer the prayer of a sinner who is turning to Thee tonight. Do not turn Thy back to him, Lord. We thank Thee that there is salvation in Christ. There are so many blessings in Him. We are born again because of Him, and we have heaven because of Him. Hear our prayers again as we ask all these things in His name and for His sake. Amen. Amen. Let's close our time together by singing our last hymn number 423, so well known, a hymn that is so well known, Amazing Grace.